Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
All right, you guys, we have so much to cover today. Racism, sexism, and bullying. The dark side of Bachelor Nation was exposed last night. Mm. Plus, Harry Styles reveals he risked his life to save his phone. But first, Sophie Turner admits her first date with Joe Jonas was nearly a disaster. I'm Erin, this is Justin, and this is Morgan, and you guys are watching Daily Pop.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, it's totally normal to freak out before a first date, even if you're Sophie Turner. Mm-hmm. She is admitting that she thought Joe was going to be such a dick. They agreed to meet at a bar in London, and Sophie explains to Elle, quote, I brought all my guy friends to come with me to meet him because in the back of my mind, I still worried that he could be a catfish or I don't know what. I just wanted my guy friends with me. I had my rugby boys. I was safe. Hmm. Things obviously went well. She tells the magazine out March 24th that they talked for hours and it was so easy. And of course, the rest is history.
Aww.
Okay, yes. What do you guys do if you're not so sure that a date will work out? Are you like, Sophie, you gotta bring some friends, or do you just not go altogether?
First of all, I watch a lot of Dateline.
Okay, that's a great start.
A lot of Dateline. So I never go on a date where there's not gonna be like a public that would see me walk in and walk out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing is, I learned very early on that if you schedule a date, first or second date, schedule it for an hour. Always have something to do after. Always pre-order that Uber.
Justin
always
gets out of everything he needs to get out of efficiently. Meanwhile, 3 days later, I'm still sitting there.
Still sitting there.
You are so calculated.
No, I pre-order an Uber.
Unless it's good.
No, I always leave. I always leave after an hour because I want people to come back for more. I don't want to cover everything on the first date.
An hour is nothing, though.
An hour goes by really quick.
Yeah.
For a first date, you don't want to meet somebody. By the way, if you meet somebody,
you don't want to run out of things to talk about either. That's a really good point. I feel like for this, in this particular instance, I feel like at this point in our lives, if we're going on dates, we're meeting at a bar, the two of us, and you spend like an hour talking, I think she's so young and they're both famous. I feel like it also depends on what date you're going on. If you're just meeting up at a local bar, like it's a friend gathering.
Yeah.
He brought a friend. I feel like the sense of it was that we're just going to meet up casually and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm asking you out, come to dinner with me at this place.
Exactly. And he hit her up, I want to say via DMs. And was like, hang out, I'm in London. And she's like, okay, well, it sounds casual enough to bring my friends.
Right, for exactly.
Sure. I feel like guys aren't also very clear whether it's a date or not sometimes.
Amen.
And you're just like, okay, well, it sounds kind of friendly, so I might as well just bring the crew.
You're romantically interested in each other, but you just don't bring the formalities with it, which this is the best way, I think, to meet somebody for the first time.
Yeah. No, I think
you're
right.
It makes it fun. It takes the pressure off. You either connect or you don't.
Right.
It's like no harm, no foul. You can leave with your friends. Like, I love that.
Yeah, but that's the problem. You have to take the pressure off yourself. And I think a lot of times when we dated in our 20s, we would go into a date and we would hype ourselves up like, this might be the one. My psychic told me I would meet somebody, or I read my horoscope and it said I'm gonna meet the one, you know, this month.
Literally, this morning.
By the way, me every day.
Her every day.
I'm like, today's the day.
So I think in my mind, dating in my 30s, what I go in with is less expectations, low expectations, because I like to be pleasantly surprised as opposed to being disappointed.
Okay, well, have you ever changed your mind about someone in this way, where you went into it with maybe not the best feelings or best expectations, and then you left being like, I'm pleasantly surprised. I could see myself maybe dating this person.
I feel like that's more for you. I feel like I've never really dated. Is that strange?
What?
That is strange.
Well, I feel like I was really, really young before I was in a long-term relationship. I've been in a long-term relationship for a really long time. Like, I wasn't really dating before that. I had a boyfriend before that, too.
Yeah, but you like a recycle bin.
Well, I just...
You date in your group. Like, no, I'm saying, no. There are people who go out there and date and meet new people, and like, you know, your friend goes to Venice all the time and meets guys that you don't know and then brings them back, and you're like, how'd you meet this guy?
Like, now
you date in your close circle.
Well, you have people that you like hooked up with when you were like in college or like end of high school, and then you have boyfriends, and then you go back to those people in the meantime. Like, the actual like going on apps, doing the actual proper date thing would be for me to do that now, but like, I'm not doing that now.
Yeah. Well,
I would change too. And I have changed before, where I went into something I'm like, absolutely cannot see myself with this person. I don't even know if I want to go on this date. Like, I'm not attracted to them, or maybe I don't feel our personalities will mesh. But I've ended up dating people after having those feelings going
into it. So what causes you to want to go on the date?
I don't know, just like time, a lot of time. Yeah. I'm just like, what do I have to lose?
Yeah. Free dinners.
Free dinner is
amazing.
A best.
No, but
if you call me
I'm
and tell
like,
me you want to go to Boa and I can get that Caesar salad for free, I'm in.
That Caesar salad, it's very peppery though.
Oh, it's so good.
I have the same pepper.
It's so good.
I give people chances. I'm like, even though in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I give people chances.
It's
and
also
I
good
to be surprised.
It's good to make good on your commitments. Like, if you have something that you've committed to and you really don't want to go, you still go, because it always backfires when you don't. Because then the boy you like goes, and then you're like, God, I should have gone.
Yep, exactly.
I have a great intuition about people and things. I just never listen to it. And I don't know why that is. Like, I know that this person's gonna be bad for me, but I also know the sex is gonna be good. So I'm gonna tiptoe into it, and I'm gonna keep my emotions out of it, but then I go head first with my emotions.
Tumble, somersault into
it. Somersault into it. But it makes the bomb revenge body. I always have a revenge body because
fun.
Of that. It's fun to have
it
that.
It is fun.
But I just never listen to my intuition, and I'm really mad about it.
But I think everybody does that. I think everybody knows when something's not good for them, but then... they're so hot.
Mm. And then we end up overthinking things
later. Yeah, overthinking. I should create an app called Overthinking. Five steps.
I would subscribe to that. All right, let's talk about something that was trending last night. It was the Bachelor Nation Women Tell All, and it took a serious turn last night when former Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay addressed some of the hateful and racist comments she and other women have received. Things got emotional with Rachel reading some of these messages.
You're an emotional, stupid bitch. Kill yourself. You're useless. Of course you pull the black card. You're so jealous. Holy stop being a jealous bitch. It doesn't look good on you. No one cares about a half Mexican bitch's opinion. You are disgusting and are jealous. And you guys, that's just a tip of the iceberg.
How many of you have faced true hate? Not criticism, true hate. That's 100% of you.
Wow, and those are just the women from this season. Do you think when it comes to nasty comments and trolls online that women get it worse than men?
I will say women do get it worse than men because women are way more judgmental of other women, and they will put it out there, and I think it happens in real life, it happens online. Y'all can be vicious to one another. The gays, we gonna troll your ass behind your back. We gonna talk about it to our friends. Send your screenshot to somebody that we know. Now the repressed gays, on the other hand, they can be a little crazy because they like to get their anger out on everybody. But I feel like when it comes to women, I feel like the first thing that women do a lot of times is tear each other apart, and I don't know where that comes from. And I've seen it with
insecurity.
My sisters and my best friends, and like, it's very weird. It's a different moment, because when I see those things, comments that come in about people, I normally click on the profile and it's another woman.
But there is actually a lot of men online also coming for women. I think the internet culture promotes misogyny. And I feel like a lot of men, like, social media could be used in two different ways, antisocial and pro-social. And there have been studies found that women are more pro-social, trying to connect with other people,
engage.
Touch. Engage. Yeah. Whereas a lot of men are antisocial, and they use it as a way to like relieve stress or like any
troll people.
Trolling. And a lot of women receive more trolling comments than men do. And it's not only women coming for women. It's men who are maybe upset that a girl didn't DM them back. I get that all the time when guys are trying to slide into the DMs. Let me take you on a date. You're cute. You're hot. Screw you, you FMB, like a couple days later.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you didn't respond to me because I somehow owed you something. It's a lot of people. It's not just men or women coming for a certain type of person. It's just, it's everyone coming, and it's bad.
Do you feel like you get a lot of negative comments on your posts?
I don't really pay attention. Sometimes, yes. Yeah, I don't know. It's a mix. I don't know.
But your DMs are pretty normal.
DMs are kind of, it's Twitter where it's vicious.
Twitter is always the worst.
It's literally the worst. Like, I don't even really like to look up my name hashtagged sometimes because I'm like, oh, what are they going to say? Like, mm-hmm. and it could be about anything.
Yeah.
Everyone gets it.
When I used to work for Kyle Richards, I started working with her the first season that she was on the show. And what I would do, because I knew if I saw an episode, we always saw the episodes a few days before they came out, so you can write your blog and be prepared, and right. you would see the cut. And I knew the episodes where people would be rude. So what I would do is I would wake up at 5 o'clock because I knew she was waking up at 5:30 to, you know, check social, get her kids ready for school, get her day started. I would go on and kind of delete some of the nastier ones. So she wouldn't see it because
that's so nice
I just
you.
Knew when it was coming.
It's so crazy people can do that, though.
It's
there
so crazy.
There has to be something that's regulated. Like, that can't just continue because people eventually...
No.
If somebody's unwell, I mean, people could genuinely hurt themselves. Like,
for
it's
sure.
an irresponsible it's happening. Tool for people to be able to have and spew hate.
And what happens is when you work in the reality sector of TV and entertainment, or you're on a reality show or you're on a dating show like this, people really think that they know your life and that they can
they
say
you.
Whatever.
That
it's
they
weird.
Have a 360 view of who yeah. you are because yes. they see a clip. And even somebody who is on a reality show, if I watch another reality show, I'm like, oh, I can't believe that. And I should know better. So yeah. it's not entirely everybody else's fault, because when somebody paints you a certain way, that's all you know of them, it's easy to believe that.
Yeah, but even if somebody paints you in the sense that you're on your worst day, people shouldn't say, you should die, you N-word,
no,
da-da-da,
absolutely.
Or you
I mean,
should get
no
cancer,
excuse.
Or like, I hope Jesus. You die. Just like, I mean, the things that Kyle would get on her Twitter, and still does today sometimes, I'll go and check in on the hashtag, like if she was vocal about something or if she spoke against Lisa Vanderpump. It's like the stands come out of the place and it just gets really nasty.
Yeah there can't be, I mean, wishing somebody to fall ill. I mean, there's just a line. If you want to give your opinion about a scene that you saw, that's one thing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's just, and I...
It's also not that serious, right? It's entertainment.
It's
like, you don't need to wish.
It's not that serious. And people, they forget that they're actual human beings with real feelings.
I don't get the human beings that are writing these things, that are saying, I don't care about your opinion because you're blah, blah, blah.
Like, it's
that
narcissist.
To me is out of hand. That is somebody who lives a very sad life and did not fulfill any of their goals.
But let's not just talk about the people who are writing it. Let's talk about the cast members and the celebrities who are liking and retweeting these nasty things that other
that
people are saying about
thing.
Their co-stars. So it fires people up and say, if I say this about this person, she'll like it or retweet it or comment on it. That's when it gets worse. And I feel like... Anytime a new housewife comes through, I always say, girl, get ready. It's all fun and games season one, but season two, they're
going to
come for your ass.
They're going to know your name.
They need some skin.
Everybody
they need
has
some
a season.
Blood. Everybody has a season. Don't get used to this, and do not retweet or respond. Play the game. Be courteous to your other castmates, because at some point, it's going to come back around on your ass.
Right.
And a lot of housewives don't last that long.
But I'm happy they did that last night. I thought that was a really, really smart and real thing for them
Absolutely.
To have done.
And it was honestly chilling watching it, and I still get chills watching the clips because it's like, this is real. Like, see how people are just so shocked?
Nobody
like,
realizes how serious it is. It's a really good thing for them to have done.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, she's so upset about it now.
Yeah, because she has also received her fair share of hate, and I feel like it is our responsibility, or anyone with a platform, to really shed light on this and put an end to it. Yeah, stop liking the comments. Stop perpetuating this mess. So
it's hard.
It is hard. All right, you guys, we're all riled up. Up next, the pregnant celeb who's banning her ex from the delivery room. Is it fair to make him miss the birth of his baby? We'll talk about it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Eva Marie says her estranged husband won't be in the delivery room for the birth of their son. Eva, who's Susan Sarandon's daughter, and husband Kyle Martino broke up last November. She wrote on her blog, "Birth is so emotional, and so I knew early on that having Kyle there wasn't going to feel right to me."
Mm.
Okay, how do you feel about the dad not being in the delivery room?
I mean, okay, so it's strange for me. I was just saying to you guys, I've known Eva since I was born. My best friend in the entire world is her stepsister, so I grew up with her. It's like a whole situation. I read what she said. I mean, first of all, from what I've heard, they're in a really good place. I mean, they're raising their two children. Their relationship, unfortunately, just did not work out. And I think after reading what she said in the article was that our intimacy level has changed. You know, we were breaking up when we conceived this child. We're not going to be together. I obviously want to keep the baby, as did he. They're going to co-parent. I don't think it's a big deal if he's not in the delivery room. They are not a couple.
Yeah, she's the one going through this
process. She's going through the process, and she's also not looking to him as the person that is going to help her through that birth. She doesn't look at him the way she did for the first two babies.
Okay. Sure.
Like, he's the father, but that doesn't mean they're in a relationship.
Yeah, but he is the father.
He's the father, but that doesn't...
At the end of the day, he's the father.
He's the father, but if she's giving birth to their child... And she doesn't want him to be there because she's the one that, as you said, physically has to push this child out or go through that labor. She needs to be in the best state of mind possible for her and her baby. And if she feels like he is not going to lend that support or he's going to be a distraction, he doesn't need to be there.
All right.
It's an unconventional situation to begin with, totally. But I think they're navigating it the best they can.
Here's the thing. When you say we're going to be great co-parents, or you tell People Magazine we are committed to and excited about raising our three beautiful children as close friends and deep partners.
Right.
When you make that decision to go down that rabbit hole with somebody, you cannot exclude them from this important moment. And I'm saying that because if you're going to co-parent, parenting starts from the moment that that child is born.
Right.
And we're in this together.
Sure.
And I go back to Bridget Mahoney and Tom Brady, how they had that slip at the end of their relationship. Do you think Bridget Mahoney wanted to be 9 months pregnant, pushing out a baby?
Hand.
60 pounds overweight, knowing that Giselle was at home enjoying her birth control and blueberries in her NYC apartment. No, it was probably a stressful moment at that time, but she allowed
her birth control and blueberries.
That's what models eat. That's what models eat.
We cannot verify that.
We cannot. And by the way, this is our favorite part. Allegedly.
Allegedly. But I'm just saying she put her feelings aside, she put her emotions aside, and she knew if we're going to be in this together, as much as I hate you right now, I'm going to have you in this room, and I'm happy that you made it. I just don't like that sometimes, and I'm not saying she's doing this, sometimes people use the kids as weapons with one another in a relationship. And if you start that situation at birth, it's gonna continue for 18 years.
I don't think that if, like Morgan said, if they are in a good place, I think that maybe he's also understanding of this because maybe he will come around after the baby is born or come around when visitation hours are. I don't know how it goes, but
He'll be there. He's just not gonna be in the room. He'll meet his son.
Exactly.
I think ultimately it's the two of them, but it is her decision because she's the one that physically has to go
through
this.
Go.
And she probably wants her mom there to support him. And the second the baby is out, he'll come in and cut the cord. But just for the actual birth process, she just doesn't want the distraction. I mean,
I just don't think that it's like.
But Justin, imagine breaking up with the husband of your husband and the father of your two, now three children, and you're breaking up as that third child's about to be divorced.
And you're deciding to do this together.
But also,
yes, but they're gonna do it together. It isn't. They're no longer in a place where she wants him to see things come out of her.
And that's fine.
Exactly.
I'll stand behind the curtain and I'll stand back, but I'm going to be there for my son because as a partnership and as a team, we decided that we were going to do this together.
And they're going to parent together, but she doesn't need him to coach her through the birth process.
I'm not trying to coach you. I'm just trying to witness my child being born. You shouldn't let somebody miss out on that. If Khloe Kardashian can let Tristan sit in that room
after
what
happened.
I don't want to hear it.
No.
I don't want to hear it.
It is a woman's choice.
So maybe in the last 5 minutes.
That's not fair.
By the way, I love pulling the woman card when it's convenient.
That's not fair.
It's not only convenient, it's just fact.
That's not fair.
And today,
and I'm never going to be in this situation. I'm not going to be.
You're not going to be there for the birth of our child?
No, I'm not going to. My husband will not tell me that I cannot see my surrogate have that child.
You can come 12 hours later. I don't care. Let me clean up and be comfortable with myself again before you step into my space.
Or the winning touchdown when the baby's coming out, he can maybe do a little peek or something.
Yeah, there you go. Also,
Eva, you do you. I'm so happy for you.
You do you. She's also allowing the kids in the room. They're 3 and 5.
Well, that's. I mean, what are they going to do? Hang?
At your emotional moment, you would rather a 3-year-old asking for applesauce and juju and Peppa Pig, but you don't want your husband in there sitting there waiting for his child to be
welcome? It's not her husband anymore. They are not in a relationship.
You need boundaries sometimes.
You've grown up with somebody. You decided as a team that you were going to tell People Magazine that you're invested in co-parenting, and then you're going to tell me at one...
They're going to co-parent. They're not going to co-birth.
Thank you. There we go. All right. We're leaving that right there. Please let us know your thoughts, by the way.
Yes, and side with me.
I'm sorry.
Moving on.
Side with me.
I'm sorry.
He has good points, but
I've seen
side with me.
Too many women use children as weapons.
I'm the only one not using children.
And
why?
Men do it the same thing. And I hate it because the kids get caught in that turmoil and it's resentment. Why would you want to start your relationship off like that when it comes to co-parenting?
Well, she maybe, AK, she probably hates his guts and doesn't want him in the room.
That's like, okay.
There you go.
That's fine.
But you're right.
But
we were doing
those
it.
Are, that's my opinion.
Same.
And you never know. And we're going to co-parent beautifully. Do we have to move on?
Carissa, please add us, tweet us, anything. Let us know what it's like to be a mother and to go through this process.
I can't believe people push things out of them in general.
Coming up, you guys, get ready to update your wardrobe. We've got 4 trends you need for spring. That's next. Okay, you guys, it's time to update your wardrobe from winter to spring. And here to show us 4 of the must-have trends is style expert Ashley Foltz.
Good morning. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
Great.
Good. Let's talk colors because we want to know what is the major color that's making a statement this season.
We are talking about lilac or lavender or pale purple today. Are you speaking my language?
I have been obsessed.
It.
Lavender, lilac, so good.
I feel like Cardi Levine obviously was wearing it recently to a red carpet event. Mm. We're seeing it here in a really cute way. I mixed the dark purple with the lighter purple, and I feel like the contrast is so chic. This looks like $1 million, but it's from Shein.com. It's super affordable. I went with another pop of color, which we're seeing a lot of. We saw a lot of street style looks with really bright hues. And so the green bag from Frame, I thought was a great addition to this look.
Love it.
And to get really fun, it's spring after all. You want to play with color and have fun with your fashion. So this is the perfect look. She could wear this to the office. She could wear it to drinks with the girls.
Yep.
She could really wear it anywhere.
It's adorable.
I love the contrasting purples. I feel like I'm not the biggest purple fan in general. And I feel like with the lilac and the darker purple, it really ties together nicely. It makes it look richer almost.
I guess so too. But you know, you could go with a white button-down blouse if you wanted to do it more understated with maybe a denim jacket and a white tee. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to wear these lilac pants. I think you're going to get a lot of use out of them.
Yeah, so cute.
For sure.
Love it.
All right, and then there's gotta be a piece that we should just all invest in, and what is it?
Okay, so the new take on the leather jacket, which we all have in our closet, is the leather blazer.
Ooh.
I'm talking faux leather blazers, because those are much more affordable.
Right.
And especially with a big trend like this, you don't want to spend tons of money on it, but we're seeing it everywhere. We saw it all over the runways. We're seeing it on all the models. This was recently on Kourtney Kardashian. She wore a really cute leather blazer. This is a wrap one. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. It's from Boohoo.com. I'm obsessed with it. This tan leather is huge.
Do you feel like people should invest in maybe a tan over a black?
I do.
Right.
I feel like
why
tan, it's much lighter for spring.
And people are scared of color, but black is almost harder to match when you're going into the summery months because you feel like, I don't want to look so formal and so heavy.
And dark.
Yeah. And dark.
Yeah.
So
you
I
can
think
wear
camel's
florals
gut.
With this. And even, I paired this with skinny jeans, but I was thinking, I just recently bought some tan leather shorts. Wouldn't that be
That's
so
really cute?
Or even dark brown leather ones.
That
you could even
really
do it with
too.
A denim
Mix
skirt.
It. Yeah. I love that. Mixing the leather colors.
I love that.
I also love that this is sustainable and sustainability in fashion.
Yes, leather is so true. Yeah.
Also, you could call it vegan leather if you want to just
feel
like
true.
Really
I love
awesome.
Sustainability.
we went with the snakeskin print boots. She just looks super put together and chic, and it's a little bit retro at the same time, don't you think?
Yeah.
I love this look.
I love it.
So
okay.
Cute. Okay. What is this? Are we going to be seeing a lot of skin in spring?
I definitely think we're gonna see a lot of skin. Lingerie exposed is one of the biggest trends for spring. We're seeing a lot of crop tops and things like that, but actually worn as bra tops.
Yeah.
So this is super chic. We recently saw Vanessa Hudgens rocking a look like this, but I've seen every celebrity doing this, honestly. And we put a blazer over it to make it a little bit more sophisticated and wearable. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people are afraid to obviously wear their bra outside of their home. I don't wanna do that.
I don't either.
If it's super cute like this, this is from Pretty Little Thing.com. The whole look is actually, and I feel like it's made to be really elegant. So maybe wear a high-waisted pant or a high-waisted skirt to cover up your tummy if you're not as comfortable wearing a bra top like this.
I also feel like it just makes it look cooler.
Right.
And edgier,
more intentional.
And more intentional, yeah. I feel like if you're just in a crop top and a high-waisted jean, it's a little slutty.
Yeah.
Cool. This makes it comfortable for everyone at home.
I love this look, though. And the color of the blazer, I think, is so chic. We're seeing tons of pastels. Obviously,
it's like a
the
teal.
Lilac, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
So
it's so
springy.
Cute.
It is. Very
so
cute.
Fun and fresh.
What's this next one I'm freaking out?
Yeah, is there like a
so
surprise
cute.
Trend?
There is a big surprise trend. We're seeing it everywhere. I'm actually rocking it. It's the big collar. We're seeing it here in the plain white top as well. But really, Harry Styles was recently rocking it, which is so funny. We saw it all over the runway at the Ghani show. This is actually a Ghani top. And it's new and it's actually selling out so fast. So
really?
I know a lot of people are afraid to wear it, but it's coming out in dresses with big collars, or you can wear it with a shirt like this, or even detachable collars you can put on sweaters that you already have at home.
Right.
I think that's a super cute idea. This is a great little floral dress from Shopoff. It's so fresh and fun for spring.
So cute. Amazing. Like for like a luncheon or even a bridal shower. It's very 60s.
Yeah, a bridal shower.
Really, I feel like or when you go to shower. Bridal shower, you never know what to, for some reason, those exactly. events, you're like, what am I wearing to this event?
Yeah. You'll never have anything
nothing.
For a
and then also you're looking through everything blush, but you hate blush.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
I love it. Yeah, I just think this is really fun and cool, and it's young, but it's also conservative at the same time. So really anyone can wear it, any range, age range, and
great.
It's perfect. Yeah,
amazing.
It looks
so good.
Great for spring.
Oh my God.
Ashley, thank you so much for your style tips.
For
you guys, if you want to check out more style tips, you could go to styleedittricks.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
80s cover girl Paulina Poroskova is opening up about the, quote, tricky guilt she feels over estranged husband Rick Ocasek's death. She told CBS This Morning, after the Cars frontman died last September, she learned she had been cut out of the will. Paulina says she wants to be able to be sad and miss him, but feels betrayed. What do you guys think? Should she be upset over being left out?
Look, I'm no lawyer. I went to law school for 12 days. But you were still 12 days.
That's a lot, actually.
He did.
12 days. But you still lived together. You were only separated. So I think you're still going to get run some funds, right?
I mean, by the way, on the deathbed, I'd be like, make sure you sign this because I'm not going to be cut out of anything. Right? But that's just my approach.
No, but I think if they're still legally married and you were married to him for 28 years, you're entitled to half that estate in the first place.
But also, I mean, if you're in a marriage and a relationship like this, why are you in it if you believe it should be transactional?
No, Aaron. No. This is not
I'm wrong on this one?
Yes. That is not transactional. They had a life together. They were together for 28 years. She has children with him.
Yes.
They were partners. For him to pass away and him not leave her anything is not transactional. That's just wrong.
No, but I will say, I think what might have happened back in the files, they split up in May of 2018, and I think he died suddenly is what I read.
Right,
so there's no tennis.
He probably went in there and was like, take her out of my will when he was upset with her. Mm. And then all of a sudden, their relationship started blossoming into something else where she became his caretaker while he was on his deathbed, and he probably didn't think he was gonna die.
Or didn't have the time to even rectify what he had done. I just feel like it's not like they were together for 3 months and then he unexpectedly passes away and she's like, well, why don't I have $500 million? Like, that's a different story. But when you have a life together, like, like my dad last minute being like, no, Susan, no, not gonna work out. Like,
yeah, but I also think it's weird, and maybe this is just me, that she said she knew about the will and that she wasn't in it the day after he died. Like, who's looking at a will 24 hours after?
Well, I think people come and present that to you, right?
Like, isn't
people
that get, sudden,
yeah,
though?
I feel like the estate comes in very quickly to, like, handle logistics. I don't know, I haven't been involved.
Unless she had a feeling, maybe I'm not in it, and let me check really quick.
But you still getting 50.
I don't know.
But we don't know if she's getting any.
I mean, I think she should still be able to mourn him and feel sad and miss him. She's like completely doesn't feel that because she feels betrayed.
Well, I think she's torn because I feel like when you put blood, sweat into tears for a relationship to last for 28 years, you're entitled to some of that money.
With a rock star too.
With a rock star. Like she helped him along the way. Like it's 28 years of their lives. She deserves things.
But we have a lawyer in the house.
Oh, good. You picked the right day to stop by, huh?
If they were married for 28 years and were just,
she's like, she's no, saying, let me
she
not.
Deserve some of the
she's
money?
Getting
this
cash.
Conversation.
She is getting cash.
This is called a camera. Say hey.
Hey. Oh, there you are.
Legal has been in here because we've been dropping things left and right without saying allegedly.
Don't think she's entitled to the money.
I'm going
to
stay out.
Nice. She's staying out of it.
I'm staying out of it.
Legal staying out of it.
It's
that's what you get for coming unannounced.
If you split up, That's how I feel.
Aaron, if you put 28 years of your life into a relationship, you supported this man through ups and downs, you had children together, you were married, and he passes away and doesn't leave you any money.
I'm leaving with half the knobs in
there. I'm leaving with, I don't even know what I'm
leaving with.
Hopefully,
the
I build my own life for myself where I could stand on my own two feet and feel fine that
but
whatever.
But still. But still, you are deserving of it. I have my own life, and I plan on taking half of whoever wants to hang out.
Oh, just a note to you.
Just so you're aware of partners. That.
By the way, keep the wheel. I don't need that piece of paper. The state of California tells me I'm entitled to have.
But were they in California? I don't think they were.
Wherever they were,
there's a lot of logistics we need to figure out.
Yeah, agree. So defend me, right? No.
She's not getting the money.
Fine. We'll agree to disagree on this one. You guys have some strong feelings about whether women should be allowed to control who's in the delivery room. Barbara agrees with Justin. She says men have the right to be part of their kids' life, especially since many chose not to. It's not fair to exclude them from certain aspects of the child's life just because you don't like his guts. Angela agrees with Morgan and I.
Thank you.
She says it's 100% the woman's choice.
Yep.
The woman is the patient. She decides who's in the delivery room. The hospital will agree.
And guess what I have to say about that. When I get my own home and we're divorced, I don't want to hear you complain about what hoes I have around my kid. Okay? Because it's my house.
The hoes?
And if I want a side chick around
birth
my kid
control,
without talking about you, I'm just saying.
Yes,
the patient, the hospital
just
will sign.
Justin thinks he's in a movie.
It makes me upset when people go to, well, it's a law. She's the patient. Or, you know, it's her choice. If the dad was not willing to be in that room, she would be trying to talk him into being in there. But this guy wants to be involved, and this is what's happening to him. I think it happens to a lot of men, and a lot of times it's a woman's choice. Yes, I agree with that, but sometimes if you make that choice to have that child with somebody, and you want him to be a father,
to deliver that child,
we're doing it together.
Safely and in the most warm environment possible.
Thank you.
So when we talk about her man meeting her new woman, it's his house, he owns it, his kid gets it.
That's why he has his rights. Are we going to the break?
We're going to throw in a commercial while we figure this out. Stick around, because we're talking about mansions and millionaires and houses.
Finally something I know something about.
I don't even have an ovary.
Yower has been on my team for about a year and a half now. He is an exceptional agent, very likable. Some agents think that they need to be sharks. Yower takes the approach of swimming with dolphins. I think Yower is nice and kind, but I do think sometimes the only way to win is to get messy and tell people the way it is and tell them what they don't want to hear.
Oh, here to talk about that shade is Listen Impossible star, Yower Charlie.
Hi, everybody. Woo! Hi.
First of all, how did it feel to be called a dolphin and not a shark?
I love that because dolphins are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
They have friends. They travel in a pack. They got your back. They're friendly. They still get the job done, and they have amazing skills. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I love
that. And they live longer than sharks, too, P.S.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You Googled dolphin before you got here, didn't you?
No, but it's funny. I already knew that because someone else had talked about, like, being a dolphin versus a shark. And I'm like, you can go be a shark by yourself. Sharks have no friends.
Right. Yeah.
Can we agree
on
that?
And also, people are fearful of sharks.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And why would you do that when you can get the same results with someone who's friendly, kind, personable, and who's got your back?
Mm-hmm. Now, this home in the season finale, which is tomorrow, you guys call it a swanky Kinko's. Tell me about that.
And Kerman calls it a swanky Kinko's.
That's pretty swanky.
So, this is the thing about this house. So, very famous photographer, famous architect, father who helped consult on the house.
Okay.
And this is a classic example of when you build your dream home, you are building your dream home.
Right.
And when you go to sell it, it may not be for everybody.
Ooh.
So the current owners, this fulfills all their needs. He's a photographer, it's an art gallery. They like having musicians over, so they have a piano. Granted, it was in the dining room at the time, but we moved it. But my point is, it didn't have a living room. It didn't have like a designated space for family to hang out. So when you walk through it, you're like, I can't wrap my head around what this is. It worked perfect for them. And if I could have found a carbon copy of a photographer, art director,
like musical
who needed a production studio in their house, yeah, it would have worked. But everybody else was like, I'm gonna pass.
But how much do you feel like staging plays a part in people buying homes? Like, do you feel like it's absolutely imperative?
100%, without question these days. Like, it's not even an option not to stage because a lot of times, think about it. When you walk into a home, I mean, you might have vision. Most people don't.
Most people have no vision and no taste.
You have to give it to them.
It's like impossible.
You got to give it to them.
And so when you walk in a space, you want it. This is defined. I got this. This is the bedroom. This is the dining room. This is the this. And even like with small rooms, and you worry like, okay, can I fit a bed in there? there? Can I do this? If it's spelled out for you, you don't have to worry about it.
You basically just don't want them to have to think too much.
No, and then you can see your life in a home. It connects it. It warms it up. And it's a requirement. So folks at home, if you're watching, make sure that you do your staging. It's necessary.
Wow.
Now, you've sold some pretty insane homes, and you also have some pretty high-profile clients. We just read that Jeff Bezos dropped a guap of cash on seeing one of the most and buying one of the most famous homes. How hard is it to even get a client through those doors?
He didn't. He did it himself, right? Wasn't it direct transaction?
Allegedly.
He was like, let me give you $100 million.
I cannot confirm or deny such things.
But I think I can.
You probably can. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, we all got $165 million to drop, don't we?
It's just right.
A check. No
the
big
day.
Deal, right? It's very rare. And the thing is, you know, we live in a space where that gets a lot of attention. The bread and butter listings, which most realtors work on, which in LA County, granted, is $1.5 million and under. But those big trophy listings happen, like, if you can do one of those a year or one every 2 years, you're set. Like it's amazing. And so there is a market for that. We do have billionaires in this town, around the world, who want to be in LA. Mm-hmm. And it's a good mathematical equation. So if you're buying a $30 million house, you really have to be worth about $150 million, which is a lot of money. So that's kind of how the equation works.
How long have you
that
been a real estate
agent? That just made things real.
It did, right? So I'm here for
that was real. Because you're like, oh, they have a $30 million home. You don't think about, you think of the $30 million that you can sort of wrap your head around.
Sort of.
But then you have to go into like the upkeep of the home. You need to have proof of funds to even like
get
buy
in there.
That.
Oh, ma'am, you don't even see the house until I can provide the listing agent with proof of funds and who you are.
Damn, Google's not working for people.
Google's inaccurate.
Google works for people. That's the problem too.
Oh,
quick little story. I had a client that I did not Google before. This is earlier in my career.
I love that.
And we made an offer on something, and I got a call from the listing agent, and they said, do you realize that your client's up on federal racketeering charges right now? And I'm like, ooh, I should have Googled this person.
I thought we had client lawyer privilege right here.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I just broke my NDA, everybody.
Oh, my God. Well, congratulations, and thank you for stopping by.
Thank
we
so
really
much.
Appreciate it. You guys, you can check out Yara on The Listing Impossible season finale. It airs tomorrow night on CNBC. It is so damn good. Mm. But up next, would you consider being a stay-at-home mom for your dog? We'll discuss.
Nope.
Question for you guys.
Still fighting about this.
Should pet children be treated the same as human children? I love this story so much. One woman who struggled to have kids insists she loves her dog like a daughter and quit her job to be a stay-at-home dog mom. This woman says her child or dog should be allowed in the same public places as kids. Mm. She explains to Daily Mail, we'll go out to the pub and on the side you have a dog quietly sitting under the table, you wouldn't know she's there. And across, you'd have two kids creating mayhem. Do you agree with her, or do you think this is a stretch?
What is happening? What is she doing? What? She wants to what? Be?
She Bring just her wants her dog to have everywhere. The same rights as young children. And you know what? I stand with her.
Pearl's very well behaved.
Pearl is a great little daughter. Like, yeah, I think it depends on size of your dog.
I mean, but also I understand somebody not wanting an animal sitting next to them while they're eating.
Yeah.
Amen.
Table where it's not bothering you.
What if I'm allergic to that dog?
That's the other thing. Like, it's like, I think that when having a pet, I am very pro pet, very pro dog. I think that, like, I don't necessarily want everyone's dog at, like, every meal I'm at. Even if it's under the table, it's true. Like, if somebody has an allergy or somebody's afraid of dogs, it's also just...
I think there should be, like, rules to it. Like, and I think there are when it comes to service animals. They have to be hypoallergenic, so even if you are allergic, you're not going to be bothered by it. And they have to be trained so they're not, like, barking and going crazy and they're not going to bite someone. They have to know simple commands. So I think that's fine.
Like, but she's not even saying emotional support. She's just saying my dog should be able to sit here like the baby is.
Hopefully your dog is trained like Pearl, because Pearl really behaves. And I treat her like a child. And I do get sad when I leave her and have to go to work on days like today. And I'm wondering what she's doing. And it's just like, I see her little eyes when I leave. And I almost, quit this job.
Yeah.
So we have almost lost me today, guys.
Yeah. For sure. I think you're right in the sense.
He's like, stop being crazy.
If it's an emotional support animal, but I know people who have four dogs and one emotional support tag and use it for all four dogs.
Oh, no, that's not cool.
And I'm saying that because I know people do that. Oh, it's an emotional support dog. No one's checking to make sure that Pomeranian is hypoallergenic, and I know it's not. No one's making sure that little Fifi is not going to bite anybody. And what happens is, in these public places, if Pearl was a Rottweiler and bit somebody, that place would be liable for it.
Yeah, I agree
and
with that.
The first thing that dog moms like to say is, she's never done that before. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Keep her home because
she
I read about her.
I agree. There has to be some sort of limitations on sort of like the animals everywhere. What were we talking about the other day about the horse on the plane? Like, this is too much.
No.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can like take your dog on Runyon and like walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your dog has to like fit into a certain
yes.
like,
Pearl set gets of it. Rules. Baguette never.
No, you couldn't take Baguette anywhere.
You can't take Baguette out of the
troubled.
Kitchen.
She's got a troubled past. I don't know how to get her to be a normal dog.
She needs to see Caesar Milan.
She's such a cutie, but she is a bitch.
See, if people could just be responsible enough to know that their dog is a little bitch and they do not deserve to go anywhere.
I'm talking to you, Baguette. You're a little bitch.
That's fine.
But like children,
Moody.
Dog moms don't want to admit that they have a troubled child.
I admit my child is troubled because,
there you
because
go.
You admit that you're
she
troubled.
She had a rough year.
Because you admit that you're
All
troubled.
All Gray doesn't even know where she is, you know?
Get to this next story. I like this
moving
conversation.
Moving on to more weird trouble. Pete Davidson is promoting his new Netflix special by inviting you to check out his man cave. Pete took cameras inside his mom's house, that's where he lives, for a tour of his basement apartment. Some highlights include the porno shower, one of Shaq's shoes, and Pete's favorite possession, his dustbuster. Turn on or off for you guys?
It's a big off.
Look, I don't mind that he lives like a boy. Like, everyone has a style. It's totally fine. What I would like to see, and I do this very often, like, if I'm talking to a guy and we've never gone that step yet, I like to FaceTime with him and make him go in his bathroom. Because if your bathroom looks like it came out of the movie Schindler's List, I'm not coming over. It's just not my jam.
Yeah.
It's not my jam. Like, if it's dirty, I'm not coming.
I hate FaceTiming, no matter what. I'd rather see the dirty bathroom in person and leave. FaceTiming is the worst.
FaceTiming can be awkward, but you're right. You kind of, like, get the, like, preliminary thing out of the way so you can just, like, you know, not show up.
If it looks like a sponge has not hit that sink since 1995, since the last owners were in that house, I am not coming because if you look at a man's bathroom, it's indicative of how he takes care of himself.
Is that a deal breaker?
That's a deal. A nasty bathroom and dirty sheets are a deal breaker.
Ooh,
for
dirty
me.
Sheets.
Dirty sheets are unacceptable.
If you want a clown in the bathroom, in the living room, or like a slide somewhere for your boys to come through, I'm cool with that. Live like Chris Brown. I don't care. The bathroom better be pristine.
Clean it up. Why doesn't
clean
he,
it up?
Why is he living with his mom? Doesn't he like have a job?
Maybe it's just more economical. I don't know. Yeah, he just does. So that's a no for me, dog.
It's a no for me, dog.
I would do it. Bathroom was clean.
All right, you guys, coming up, what are you hilariously bad at? We're sharing our answers next. I'm not sharing mine.
I'm what?
Do you know what you're bad at?
Nothing.
It's time for us to get a little humble. People are sharing what they are hilariously bad at, so much so that it's now trending, and I guess it's our turn. What are you guys hilariously bad at?
Keeping my feelings to myself.
Oh,
that's a good thing.
Wow, you got real.
That's
really
good.
Bad at it. Oh, no, I will go to the grocery store and let the woman know what's happening.
Really?
At Trader Joe's.
Wow.
Oh, can't do it.
Okay.
Well, we discovered when I had to pick an answer that I am very bad at texting.
Are you, like, just texting
back? I just can't speak English in words for some reason. Like, I cannot type the right word, ever. It's, like, impossible for me to do
it. I think that's a lot of us, too. And with autocorrect, they think they know you, but they don't.
They don't know. I am. It is manic on my phone. It's not good.
He can confirm that you are very bad at it.
I send, like, 15 texts for one thought.
Horrible.
What are you doing today?
I'm bad at singing, but you know what? I'm working on it, and I'm taking YouTube lessons on how to sing better.
Are you?
Good for you.
I'm bad at singing, too. Lessons. Singing's overrated.
It really is, but I feel like I would be so much more interesting if I was a pop star. Don't you think? Like, if I had a show later on tonight, all right, guys, I got a show, like, I'll maybe see you tomorrow, maybe
For some reason, I feel like you could do that anyway.
I'm Filipino, but I
did not get the genes of having a great voice. So that sucks for me. All right, guys, we are out of time. If you missed anything on today's show, you can check out the Daily Pop podcast. Watch us here on E! Every day at noon. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I'll have a better voice tomorrow.
Love you.
Chris Amoot may be back.
God, I really, it's just, these are flying back, flying back.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.